Do whatever you need to do. Praise God. I'm going to share this morning from a message that actually Wayne asked me to teach on this. He's been reading a book, and he was talking about a survey that they did. Yes. He was talking about a survey that they did in this book, and it was talking about Christians, and as I recall, it's the main question that Christians are asking, right? One of the biggies. Right, in the part of the book he's in, one of the biggest questions that Christians ask is this question, is how to develop a personal relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And as I am evolving, for lack of a better word, what I'm going to share this morning is probably a little different than what I would have taught, 5, 10 years ago, what Wayne would have taught 5, 10 years ago. But this is where I am right now, so this is the message you're going to get today, okay? Praise God. So we have actually have 7 steps, and this is not these are all there is. I'm not even going to say that necessarily that this is the specific order they're supposed to be in, because I believe that, as Christians, it's an intertwining thing. We don't do just step one, step two, step B, step three, and then I have arrived. It's all intertwines. It's spirit, soul, and body. We're all, and so it's everything, overlaps everything else, that kind of thing. Okay, so we're going to start, first of all, how do I develop a personal relationship with God? Now, this first step is the big, it's probably just phenomenal revelation to all of you this morning. But step one, what do you think it is? Get saved. Wayne had the right answer. Get born again, get saved. So let's look at the classic scripture, Romans 10, verse 9. Praise God. Once again, pretty much everything I'm going to use this morning is classic, very familiar scriptures. But the thing is, we know a lot of these scriptures intellectually, but we have to get them in our heart. We have to change what's in our heart. And then that's when our lives are going to change. That's when our relationship with God is going to change. Okay? So Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's pretty flat out. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word heart, I've been talking about heart for the most of this year now, and we're going to continue to talk about heart, and we're going to get into heart more, because, heart was one of those, to me, is one of those, the spiritual terms that, yeah, we think we know what it is, but we really don't have a clue what he's talking about. Because it does not say in your head. It does not say in your head you get born again. It says in your heart. Your heart is your spirit and your soul. So from in different scriptures, Brother Hagin used to teach, with different scriptures, the focus can be on one part or the other, the heart, the spirit part or the soul part. Well, I believe in, obviously, the biggest thing is our spirits. In our spirits, we get born again when we believe, who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that God, he died for us, he went to hell, he was raised from the dead, God raised him from the dead. When we believe that, and that he is Lord now, it says, and then with the mouth we speak this. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, believes unto righteousness, and then confession is made unto salvation. And that word hit me this morning, and that word unto, is because that I'm standing here this morning, and I'm not walking in all the righteous, and I'm not walking in everything that the Word has promised. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing it yet. And I've been born again for probably 50 years. But Wayne was looked up the word for me unto this morning, and he said one of the definitions is toward. So we believe toward righteousness. We confess toward salvation. When I go through this process, am I born again in my spirit? Yes, instantly. It talks about becoming a new creature instantly. But there's another part of our heart. There's the soul part of our heart. And what does the word talk about? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It talks about our souls being saved. As long as we're on this earth, it's about the process of saving of our soul. So it's the heart. So we see here that, we are instantly born again, but also it's not all. It's all done in the spirit, but it's not all manifested. We're not experiencing all of it. Okay? Now, that word salvation or save means to save, to keep safe and sound, to make well, heal, restore to health. So in other words, if we're sitting here this morning, we know we're going to heaven if we're born again, if we have done this. Number two, we know we're protected. As long as we're following God, we're protected. You know, we need to grab a hold of that in the days that we live in, and you know, and not be afraid. You know, protection, and that's just not. It's not just for me. I believe it's for my. You know, when my kids are young, I believe that's for my kids too. It's for my household. You know, I don't know if I said this. I don't know if we talked about when. I think we just talked about it with Doc. But this is just a side topic that I don't have the revelation, so I can't teach it. But anyhow, I was reading a book by Virgil. We didn't talk about that. I just talked about that with Doc, right? And he was saying, you know, remember the man in 1 Corinthians who was living with his father's wife, and it was this, you know, when Paul found out about it, he said to them, he said, you know, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, you know, I have always taught, you know, and I believe it's true, but, you know, that when you get out of, you know, you can get out of God's protection. God never dumps us. But if we are in sin, you know, if we're not walking in the will of God, we can get out of God's protection and we open the door for Satan. But you know what? What he brought out, there's more to it than that. Because here's this man who is, you know, and Paul is saying, this is a pretty bad sin. You know, here this guy is living with his stepmother. They're having a sexual relationship. And you guys are just letting this happen. But the indication is nothing is going wrong in the guy's life. It wasn't until the church came together and separated him and they spoke out. They turned him over to Satan. And that was when the guy said, I don't want that, because he said for the destruction of his flesh, so that Satan could make him sick and kill him off. The message of that is, and this is off the side, but the message of that is that there's just not protection. I mean, there's protection for me, but there's also level protection as a body. You separate yourself from the body, then you are once again, you're opening the door for Satan to do things just because you're part of the body. You know, we wonder why, you know, this person's coming to church and everything seems to be going great. It's because of the rest of us that are living for God. So just remember that. You know, you think about, you know, I'm not going to church. You know, I don't need to go to church, you know. Ho, ho, ho. Dangerous territory. Okay, let's get back to our topic. Praise God. Righteousness. One who is such as he ought to be. Righteousness is as things ought to be. Not things as ought to be as what I think, but things as they ought to be as God has declared. What has God said? How should my life be according to the word of God? That's righteousness. And that's what I'm going after. That's what comes to me as salvation. That's who I am. I am righteous when I'm born again. Now, I may not be walking in it, but I am righteous. Okay? We don't need to get more of our salvation, but to experience more. I can't get any more saved. You know, I can't pray and get, you know, more of what God has said, but we all believe, all of us need to experience more of what God has said, right? We all be in agreement with me that none of us are experiencing what the Word says we're supposed to be experiencing, okay? When I become saved, God is my Father, Jesus is my Lord, and the Holy Spirit is my teacher. It's a package deal. That's what happens. Now, that's when I actually got born again. If things stay that way, you know, if I, you know, decide to walk in that, and if I decide to start developing a personal relationship with God, then those three are going to continue to operate in my life, and I'm going to progress. But at any time, I can make a decision to shut them out. God still is my Father. You know, Jesus is still my Savior. The Holy Spirit is still my teacher, but it's not going to manifest in my life. Unless we do, you know, some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about this morning. Okay. Step number two is make a decision. And it's not just a haphazard decision. And it's not just necessarily a one-time decision. I know for me personally, I have had to make this decision numerous times over my life. You know, as I shared earlier in the year, you know, finally discovering how much I was in grief and how much, you know, and life was just, you know, a few years back being hopeless and all that. Was that God's will? Not a bit. But I made some other decisions. Was I aware? I was still spending hours of time in prayer. I was still in the Word every day. I was still coming to church all the time. But I had made some heart decisions, or I had some heart beliefs, that my focus was not on what would draw me closer to God. My focus was on, you know, what the Holy Spirit said this morning. My focus was on stuff. My focus was on, you know, what was wrong in my life. What wasn't working? That was my focus. And the more I focused on that, the more the stuff didn't work. The worse it got. The more things went downhill. So as I repented, I'm jumping ahead now, then I got back in the right direction and, you know, I'm going in the right direction again. So it's not, like I said, it's not just a one time. There's some quotes I want to read to you from, it's James Richards' book. I can never remember the name of it, but it's about heart physics. He says, God did not call us to be a Christian. Which, He called us to be a believer, a disciple, and a son in the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I don't want to be just a Christian. I want to be a disciple. And that's what this message is about this morning, is becoming disciples, okay? My choices are to die to self, become a disciple, and allow Jesus to teach me, or be an opinionated fool. Those are the only two options. Amen. Now, Proverbs 18:2 in the New Living Bible says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. So his definition of a fool is someone who is unteachable, committed to their own way of seeing and doing things. And you may sit here this morning and think, well, I'm not a fool. Well, let me get it flat out. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If salvation provided healing for me, and all I talk about is my sickness, I'm a fool. If Jesus paid the price for peace for me, and all I do is worry and anxious and you know, see all the focus on the negative, I'm a fool. You know, the book of Proverbs, you go back and read the book of Proverbs and you know, mark the fool scriptures, there's a whole lot of stuff that we can slip into, and we say, you know, it's no big deal. Well, yeah, consequences. Amen. So, you know, we have to look at ourselves and find out, am I a fool? Am I being a fool? When I want to do it my way, I don't care what Frank Sinatra said, I'm a fool. If my way is contrary to God's way, I'm a fool. Amen. When I'm a fool, there's not a blessing for a fool. There is no blessing for a fool. But it's what am I going to do? It's my choice, you know. It's taking personal responsibility. And generally, as Americans, we don't want personal responsibility. We want to blame somebody, something for everything in our lives, you know. Whatever it may be, it's always somebody else's fault. You know, when you're spiritual, then it may be, you know, I mean, we wouldn't, in this church, we wouldn't say it was God's fault. But I heard a message on TV this morning. It said to Wayne, blasphemy. What the guy was saying was that God allows bad things in your life, you know. That's a bunch of garbage. Amen. The reason there's bad things in my life, well, of course, we go through life. Satan is the god of this world. Everything is not going to be wonderful. We are going to go through tough times. I guarantee it. But there's a whole lot of tough times we go through that's our own making, because we've been fools. You know, financial situations. We made bad decisions, and here we are, stuck, you know. Just kicking myself recently because, once again, I said, God, I did it again. I made a bad decision. But it's, you know, it's not that God has anything to do with it. But we, you know, we reap the consequences. Okay, so we want to pay attention to our decisions. But another quote, by becoming a son and deciding to become a disciple, I have made my first act of repentance. Remember, repentance is changing your mind. That's nothing, no hard thing, just changing my mind. I have decided I will change my mind about how I live and I think, how I see God, literally every aspect of my life. At every place my opinion and God's opinions cross, I will die to my opinion. This is what the Bible calls dying to self, or life as I know it. Amen. So in other words, when God says it's black and I say it's white, I'm being a fool, not being a disciple, and I'm not going to move forward in things of God. And the more decisions I make and decide, I'm going to be in control, you know? It's interesting to me, you know, Wayne was sharing Thursday night how he just, you know, Lord showed him that he had a control issue he didn't realize he had. You know, if we want to move forward with God, we have to give up control of our lives. And you sit here this morning and say, well, I'm, you know, we could be in various places, and, well, I'm not a control person. You know, I have to keep looking into myself and say, okay, God, am I? Because I'm trying my best not to try to control my life, but even worse, trying not to control Wayne's life. And this has been a growing process. Not controlling my kids' lives. You know, I mean, Shell and Ed just moved out. They lived with us for 7 years with three grandchildren. And it's totally different being a parent of a child than a grandparent. And as much as I wanted to, numerous times, I did not have the right to control how they parented their kids. I don't have the right. You know what, parents, I'm sorry, but when your kids are grown up, you have no right to, even as they're little, you have no right to control your kids. No right. When you try to be in control of your kids' lives, you're a fool. God is the one they're supposed to be submitted to. Now, I understand obedience and all that, but there's a difference. You know, a little parenting lesson. From the time that a baby is born, even before, you should be working on this, but from the time a baby is born until they become an adult, our job as a parent is releasing them. And the longer you stay in control, the more problems you're going to have with your kids. Guarantee it. So, totally other message. Oh, we got a whole bunch of messages this morning, don't we? Okay. Number three, change your heart. And what I mean by that is beliefs that don't line up with God, you know, with what God's word says. We have to change our heart, because that's where it all comes down to, is changing our beliefs. This statement is, I think, is really good. When our beliefs are resolved, our behavior takes care of itself. I don't have to focus on my behavior. I mean, now if I'm, you know, obvious sin and stuff, you know, I need to work on self-control. But if I keep just focusing on my behavior, well, then at some point I'm going to give up. You know, see it happening with Christians, you know, over the years, as long as we've been here, I've seen it happen numerous times. You know, you give up because I can't do it anymore. I don't know how to do it anymore. It's just too hard. We have to learn how to tap into God.
Amen.
Wayne says, read it again. When our beliefs are resolved, our behavior takes care of itself. So in other words, I work on, my focus is to be, is what's in my heart, my beliefs. And we say, you know, well, you know, I believe the word, you know, I agree with the scriptures you're reading this morning. But for the most part, I won't say for the most part. A lot of times, we agree in our head. But what's your life the other 7-6 days of the week when you're not here? What is your life demonstrating? Too much of the time, our life is demonstrating we don't believe what the word says at all. Amen. Find out what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about? You know, what's the words coming out of your mouth? If they are contrary to the word of God, then your beliefs are still wrong. Amen. So we have to, that's why drawing closer to God, developing a personal relationship with God, is finding out how to get in my heart and how to change my heart beliefs. Amen. That's what the process is about. Praise God. Galatians 2:20, verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified, another familiar scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Too much of the time we, you know, for me it's a lot harder because I've been born again since I was a little kid. But if you're older, for me, I can still fall back into the flesh, you know, instead of the spirit. But we have to remind ourselves, I am not who I was before I got born again. All that I was, all that I thought I was, is now dead. I died with Jesus. That person is crucified with Christ. I don't have to die to the past all the time. I need my dying to self is, you know, what we talked about before. It's changing my opinion. It's repenting. It's changing my mind and lining up with the Word of God says about me. Not what my past says about me. Not what the people that know me say about me. You know, it's not what anybody else says about me. It's not about their judgments. It's about what does God say about me. That's who I am. And if you have someone in your life who is negative and just reminds you of the past, you need to do on a regular basis, you need to get on your own and you say, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. I am righteous. I am holy. I am forgiven. I am accepted. Everything that God says about, I am not sick. I don't care what you're going through. I am not sick because Jesus paid the price for this. I am not sick. I refuse to be sick. It does not belong to me. As I've told you before, my confession is, I am not sick. I will never be sick. I will never need surgery. I will never break a bone. I will never have an injury. My eyesight will not grow dim. My hearing will not grow dull. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm getting stronger every day. I have strong, healthy joints and bones. That's who I am. I don't care what's happening in my body. If I'm not manifesting that, it's not God. It's because I haven't got a hold in my heart. I do not believe what God says. We said salvation is, I don't have to be sick. I never have to be sick. I don't have to have symptoms in my body. That's what Jesus paid the price for. Amen. Have I had symptoms in my body? Yes. Do you have symptoms in your body? Probably. Do you have a sickness? You may even have a sickness. But the deal is, it goes deeper than that, Peg. It's changing those beliefs. When we change, instead of just taking authority, and which I'm not saying is wrong, but instead of in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get into the heart, get into those beliefs, get into the presence of God and work on changing those beliefs, because that's where it has to change. Not in your head, but it is your heart. When it changes in your heart, then you just look at it different. But as if it's just in your head, it's going to be a continual battle. Continual battle. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. The way of the disciple, the way of the disciple is a life of transformation. You know this. You know what Wayne taught in his messages a few months back. Information, application, transformation. Do you know that was a God thing? That just keeps coming back to me. Information, application, transformation. You know, we need the information, but if you just get the information, your life's going nowhere. You're stuck. It has to be applied. And as it is applied, then we're being transformed. And to apply it, you need to be a disciple. Praise God. Because if you're not a disciple, you're not interested in applying it. You don't care. Until things go wrong. And then, God help me, God help me. God, I go to church and I tithe and I do this and that. God, why is this happening to me? Are you a disciple? But I thought this was really good. James Richards quote again. The caterpillar doesn't become the butterfly. You know, we've all talked about, you know, the comparison when we get born again, become a new, what's the word? What do caterpillars do? Metamorphosis, yes. So he says the caterpillar doesn't become the butterfly. The caterpillar is a butterfly in a different state. So that's what, you know, we're all looking to be butterflies, but we're not there yet. But we're still butterflies, because God says we're butterflies. I don't care if I look like a butterfly. I may be the ugly worm, but I'm still a butterfly because God says I'm a butterfly. Okay? When we yield to the righteousness of God already in us, it transmutes us to manifest outwardly what God has already made us to be inwardly. And this, you know, this journey is not hard. You know, this is this past year. It's not hard. It's not like it used to be. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, this is fun. To get into the presence of God, to draw closer to God is fun. It gets better and better. Amen. It's not hard. Amen. It's not drudgery. Amen. It's not boring. Amen. It's fun. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I want to move to our next step. Ephesians, and once again, very familiar scripture, heard it all. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's who we're supposed to be, that new man. We're supposed to be walking. We're supposed to manifest righteousness and holiness. What does righteousness and holiness look like? Whatever God makes me to be. Amen. You know, there's we won't go into that one. Okay, praise God. Okay, so what does it say first? Number 4 is the next one. Put off the old. Send it away. We talked about this before. And when you find out there's something in you, maybe a belief or maybe an ongoing feeling, you know, what are you supposed to do? You send it away. If you need to repent and say, God, I recognize that this isn't you. This isn't what you said is my life is supposed to be. This isn't what Jesus, whatever Jesus paid the price for, it does not belong. Anything contrary to that does not belong in my life. And I don't have to suffer for a while because, you know, I made wrong decisions and then, okay, I've got to suffer these consequences. No, as soon as I recognize it, send it away. Amen. It doesn't belong. It may take some time to manifest, but send it away. You know, I find I get up in the morning and I just feel lousy. You know, maybe physically lousy, maybe just discouraged. It's just, you know, it's another gray day and the darkness is descending on us. You know, I get up at 7 this morning and it's still dark and blah. But in spite of that, amen. The light of the world is in me. Amen? Praise God. But we get up and, you know, is it discouraged? Well, as soon as we recognize discouragement, that's not God. That's not a God thing. Well, But discouragement, I don't have to feel this way. I can have all this garbage going on in my life. I can have all these things going wrong, but it doesn't have to be in me. Even though things are wrong, things aren't working the way that they're supposed to be working, in me, I'm still righteous. I'm still holy. I'm still full of the power of God. I'm still anointed. I'm still healthy, wealthy, and wise because Jesus paid the price, and that's who I am. Amen. And so we start getting rid of, sending it away, and it sounds like, well, it can't be too, that's just too simple. It doesn't work. How many have done it and it works? It works. God is not complicated. We just, religion complicates everything. Just send it away what's not of God. We're not called to a life of penance or punishment. We're called to a life of repentance, changing our mind. You know, so much of religion, you know, and even, you know, just so much of religion masks as Christianity. You know, we talk about having to, you know, having to pay for things, you know, God punishing and God bringing destruction on this place because of this and God doing this because of this. It's not scriptural. If I'm focused on, you know, being punished, I'm not going to go to God. What is it? The word says, you know, come boldly before the throne. But if I've sinned, if I've done something I shouldn't do, and so I feel guilty and I feel condemned, which is contrary to the word of God. God doesn't say that. We say that. Satan says that to us. And so I'm not going to go to the one place where there's hope, where life can change. But God doesn't care what kind of sin you've committed. He doesn't say, okay, you got to wait out there. I have to think about this. You know, what are we going to do about this, Jesus? You know, this was really bad. No, because he's my dad. As you're a father, you know, and your kid messed up. And he comes back, you don't say, well, you're not a good father if you do. What do? You open your arms. If your kid, whatever, you know, if you had your kid ran away from home or something, you don't hear about the parents, you know, just, you know, jumping all over them when they come home. It's just, I'm so glad you're home. Amen. That's my God. That's your God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Put off the old. I will change my thinking every time I realize my thoughts and opinions are not in harmony with God's word. The repentant attitude is what makes a person teachable. Pride is what makes him unteachable. That's pride. Every time when we're in condemnation, when we're in guilt, when we refuse to go to God because whatever our thinking is, that's pride. It's not scripture. I don't care. The church body, you know, you hear about cases where people mess up and then, you know, what's the Amish way of doing it? Shunning. Yeah. Well, a lot of Christian churches do that. They just don't call it that. But it's not God. I mean, there's wisdom and, you know, things like that. But to reject someone because they messed up, that's not God. Praise you, Jesus. Pride is what makes us unteachable. The Bible calls this surrendering of our opinion, casting down vain imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means, God, you said it's white. I don't care what I've done. It looks black. It looks at least, you know, 20 shades of gray. But God, you says it's white, so I'm going to agree with you. My head says it's not going to happen. You can't do that. You messed up here. You did this. You didn't do this. You know, you're supposed to do this. But no, God says it's white. I'm going to agree with God. Amen. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Doesn't matter what I look like. As I agree with God, then all the black and all the gray is going to start disappearing. And like I said, it may be a process, but eventually the white is going to be manifested. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, so the next step from this scripture is number 5, renew your mind. And this is, you know, this is a combination, I believe. First I had an information, but renew your mind is a combination, information, application, and transformation. You know, as I said before, all this stuff interacts. Why? Because Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I know what God says about me? I have to get into the Word and talk to Him, find out what He says. It's not necessarily, you know, that's one of the things why I do not watch Christian TV. I do not listen to Christian radio, because for the most part, it just makes me mad. Because there's so much out there that is contrary to the Word of God. You have to be discerning, because if you have all these divide, you know, these, because this famous minister said this, well, it has to be God. Well, not necessarily. That's why we have to get into the Word. That's why we have to know who we're being taught by. That's why we need to know the books that we're reading, who we're listening to. You know, the songs we're singing. You know, one of the new ones we're just doing, Shell and I had this discussion, great song. But there was a couple lines in there that was totally contrary to Scripture. And I'm very picky about the songs we sing, because the words are very important. So she rewrote a couple of lines. So we do the song, but we rewrote a couple of lines to make it scriptural. You know, that's my pet peeve. Well, one of my pet peeves. I have a lot of them. But anyhow, I don't listen to Christian radio. I don't listen to music on Christian radio. I think most of it's boring. And so much of it is just not scripture. You know, there's so much of it about how hard life is and how I'm going, but Jesus, which is great. But the thing is, when you feed yourself with that stuff, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about how hard everything is, and oh God, I'll just hold on. You know, I lived there for years. I'm not sitting in judgment. It's where I was, but I had to come out of it, and that was by my decision I came out of it. I had to get rid of that stuff. Amen. What are you feeding yourself? Amen. What are you renewing your mind with? Renewing the mind is the prayerful process where we die daily to self, our opinions, and put on the new man. I am not becoming the new man. I am putting him on. You know, that's our thinking gets so, you know, I have to move forward. I have to go. It's a destination. I have to get there, and then I'll be righteous. You know, I have to change all this stuff. Then I'll be righteous. Then I'll be the new man. Then I will get it. No, we have to change our beliefs and recognize this is who I am now. I don't have to do anything. You know, I don't deserve it. But because of Jesus, it all goes back to Jesus. Jesus paid the price for it. Jesus was redeemed, so I don't have to suffer all this stuff. Jesus paid the price for me. Every time I disagree with what Jesus paid the price for, once again, I'm there giving him another, I'm beating him. I'm spitting on him. Every time that I say that my way's right, I don't care, God, what you said, this is how I feel, and so I'm right, you're wrong. And we don't say that, but that's what we're believing. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So that brings us to the next one. Number 6 is put on the new. Said application, but, you know, all of these are intertwined. Put on the new. What's the new? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundant life is Zoe. The word Zoe is life as God has it. Some of the description is better in quality and quantity. Exceptional, being more than expected. Superior, remarkable. More than is needed. Extraordinary, unusual, uncommon. Giving an advantage and more. That's the life we're supposed to be living. That's the life. All the time, that's the life we're supposed to be living. That's what's available. That's what Jesus paid the price for. Amen. Nothing else has to be done. I don't have to get my act together to have that be mine. It is mine. Whatever spiritual condition you are in today, it is yours now. If you're born again, it's yours now. I don't care what anybody has told you. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you don't understand. It's still true. And God says, you know, God, scriptures, I don't have one to read to you. But the principle of God is you obey me now and you'll understand later. Yeah. Maturity, is that's when you start growing up. Then you start understanding. But God just says flat out, you obey. When we obey, then we start moving in this process. Okay? And number 7, the last one, prayer and meditation. And you know, over the years, there's various ways, and what we're talking about here is entering into the presence of God, because that's when we get into our, you know, as James Richards calls it, getting the heart zone. That's when everything else gets shut out, and I get in tune with God, and so actually I can make changes. I can, you know, my mind can be renewed. It's actually, you know, not just up here level, but I get in the here level, and that's when beliefs actually change. So to get to that point, you know, to get in the presence of God, I was thinking about it, and over the years, you know, I have done it in various ways, you know. It used to be, you know, I would pray in tongues for hours. And you know, every time, would I get in the presence of God? No, but that's, I could remember, okay, I got in the presence of God. It's good. So that's one of the reasons why I would do it. Another time, I remember going through a time in my life when it was praise and worship music. And I would just, you know, it just would, certain songs would just take me into the presence of God. And I knew I was in this, you know, the heart zone, for lack of a better way of saying it. But now, you know, the latest one that I have been working on, you know, I taught at the beginning of the year, is about, did not have a strong understanding of meditation. And so that's where this year, that's what I have been working on, because that's the thing with, you know, we refer to James Richards a lot, and that is what he's got a handle on, and that's what a lot of his teaching is getting into the presence of God, getting into meditation. And that's one of the things we're doing on Saturday nights in prayer, is we're using a CD of him to get us to the point where we can change, where we can be transformed. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 in the Amplified Bible, and he said to them, "Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear." What it says in the middle there, the measure of thought and study you give. So if your Christianity is about coming on Sunday mornings, maybe Thursday night, maybe reading your Bible once a week, maybe tossing out a prayer every once in a while, maybe, you know, reading a devotional, your life is going to be frustration. Because to do what I'm talking about today, to develop a personal relationship, and you may, you know, you may be like me, that you may have times in your life where, yeah, it's really working, because you tapped into something, you found out, but see, like for me, until now I know how to go into the presence of God every single day. I know how to do it. Where before, it was a hit and miss thing. So I would have these great times, and then they would go through these, you know, not having anything manifesting and wondering, you know, na, na, na. But I know, you know, because I'm doing it, I know that you can do this every day. And I also know to get into, to actually move forward in the presence of God and get the life that we want. I know that we want this life. We have to do it pretty much every day. It's not just a once a week kind of thing. Amen. It's getting into his presence, because that's where he talks to us. You know, as many hours as I prayed in tongues, there were a lot of times I would say to Wayne, I'd say to Wendy, you know, I'm not hearing anything. I don't know what God is saying. But when you get into your heart, and it's a communion between, you know, that's where God speaks to us. And we can hear him clearly. And no, it's because we shut everything else out. And I can't go through the process. If you want to know what it's like, come Saturday night and you can experience it. But Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And that's one of the things with this prayer and meditation, that what I'm talking about this morning is I have to talk all the time prayer. You know, even praying in tongues, you know, I mean, you talk all the time. But to actually sit there, you know, in the way that I used to understand it, you know, it was just, you know, like Virgil said when he was here, you know, after 10 minutes, what else is there to pray and still stay in scripture? You know, I mean, people that pray for hours in English, I don't have a clue how they do it. Because to me, even doing it my way, I can catch myself thinking, having my mind go in a direction that's contrary to the word. You know, you've been praying about a situation and then your mind just goes and thinks, you know, if this happens and hey, if this gets worse and that. So, you know, that's why I prayed in tongues all the time, because I knew I'd always pray in the will of God. Amen. Which I still strongly believe in. But to recognize that I can get into the presence of God and I can just sit there and commune with Him, and I don't have to talk, which if you know me well, you know, if I don't have something to say, I do not enjoy talking. Ask Wayne, he'll tell you. But to just be there. And to grow in Him and to have it affect you the rest of the other 24 hours of the day and have that joy and that peace and things get thrown at you and it's just, you know, it's there, but I'm up here and it's down here. And that's what I've been living. Have I arrived? No. But I'm making progress. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." It's spending time just in His presence. One of the reasons why, you know, there should be times in not every week necessarily, but there should be times in praise and worship. We get to the point where we're in the presence of God. You know, very rarely it's happened in this church over the years, but we've had a few times where everything was just silent. It's because why do you have to say anything? You're communing with Him in your spirit and your heart. You don't have to speak anything. And that's what we're after. At least that's what I'm after. Amen. All the time. Amen. Not just special services. Amen. Biblical meditation is when you think about, ponder, imagine, or consider any biblical promise until you have all the emotions of it being true at this minute. It's not analyzing the word, but experiencing it. One of the basic things, one of the first things that we do with the James Richards CD that we're using is he goes through this process and you enter into your secret place and you meet with Jesus. And it's the, you know, and he goes through this process to teach you how, but the first thing is Christ in me. And to actually visualize Christ in me, to actually visualize Christ is coming into me. And then visualize me going, when you have the consciousness of Christ in me, that it totally changes things. Christ is in me. That's what, you know, His power is in me. His anointing is in me. His health is in me. You know, His peace is in me. Everything is in me. But it's by experiencing it. You know, I know we've taught over the years confession, you know, but I said before we got sidetracked and, you know, if I say the scripture enough times, it's going to happen. And what happens is it generally doesn't work. Now, it can work, but without tapping into the spirit and the heart, it's not going to work. It's just going to be an intellectual exercise. You know, if I say it enough times, things will change. No. I have to change the heart beliefs. I have to change what I'm believing inside. You know, they say, "I'm not sick, I'm not sick. In the name of Jesus, I'm not sick. In the name of Jesus, pain, you have to go. Oh, it hurts. In the name of Jesus, pain, you have to go." What about going into the presence of God and talking to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, this hurts. But Jesus, it doesn't have to. So come into me. I see you coming into me. As you come into me, anything that's contrary to you has to go. Every fear, every pain has to go." It's a totally different life. Totally different life. Praise God. I don't have a big ending for this message. Question is, will I surrender my view and opinion and accept God's view and opinion? This is a process. I know officially I started this process 20 years ago. It got me sidetracked. I've been sidetracked more than once over the years. But, you know, so long as we keep going after God, He's going to keep bringing us back and He's going to move us forward. I encourage you, if you're born again, you are a son. I encourage you this morning to become a disciple and start this process if you haven't already, because life is a whole lot better than what we have known. Do you have something?